I'm Jessica Randolph, and welcome to the How to Buy a House podcast, where we empower you to invest in real estate and start building wealth for yourself. It's the biggest purchase of your life, and we're going to teach you how to do it right.
Hello out there, wonderful listener. I hope you're having a fabulous day. I have got a dear friend with me today who is also a low-key design celeb here in Nashville. I've got Hans Lorai with us, and we are going to talk all about home design and how you can spruce up your space on a dime. So without further ado, let's get into it. We're going to talk about how to spruce up your home on a dime. And yes, Hans Lorai is with us, and he is my favorite designer and quickly becoming just like a very Instagram famous designer. And maybe you can tell us like a little bit about how this all began.
Yeah, I bought this house a long time ago and eventually renovated and turned it into an Airbnb. And then we built two more Airbnbs behind this house. We're sitting in East Nashville right now. This is in East Nashville. And I started tweeting about like the short-term rental Airbnb design process, right? I was really interested in just like seeing like how you could basically use design as a competitive advantage, you know what I mean, to like get more bookings and outperform your market. So the Twitter account started doing pretty well and it started like growing. Then I like quickly realized like, you know, short-term rental owners are not the only people that are interested in design. Like everyone's interested in design. Everybody wants us. And so I sort of like broadened my focus there. Things continued to grow and I had people like reach out about consulting. So I started an email list about design and continued to grow consulting clients from there. And then recently, actually just like 4 months ago, started an Instagram. Only 4 months ago, Hans, doing like reels every day. And it's been ripping. It's been going.
So let's back up because when I met you, you were slaying lattes at
The Post
at my favorite little coffee shop in our neighborhood.
Totally.
And I'm like, this guy's so nice. We became friends. And I think you said like, I just got my real estate license, or you wanted to get your real estate license.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is like 10 years ago almost probably. And I was like, you should come to my brokerage at Village Real Estate.
Yep.
And then I feel like we didn't see each other for like 5 years after that. Like I would see you at Village, but like, so in between that time.
Just those team meetings and then I'm out of there.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I would like grab coffee, print something, and then I was out. But so like in between that time, like had you had any experience with design before the Post, or was this just something that came up because you're super creative?
It was something that I saw. Okay. All these short-term rentals, I would look at all these different short-term rentals, right? It's like I had done my first one. I started building my second ones. And I was like, this is what I'm competing against. This is my competition. Mm-hmm. So they're all nice, right? Mm-hmm. Like everything's brand new. Everything's like has, you know, quartz counters and nice wood floors and big windows and 10-foot ceilings and all that. So like, how can I be different? And one of the things I noticed is everything was basically white and gray. I'm like, it's so weird. You like look at these pictures of these places and they're beautiful. They're nice. They're high-end, but it looks like a black and white photograph. There's just like no color. And I was like, I see, like when you're scrolling on Airbnb, like you want to catch somebody's eye and you want to like stop them. And one of the ways you can do that is like with color and with a really like striking photograph. Like you're not going to get somebody to stay because your beds are so nice or because you have quartz countertops. It's because they like are intrigued first by the pictures.
Yes.
And so that was the thing that I realized with my places is like, I think I can beat the market if we are just like better designed.
Yeah.
And so that started to prove out. And that was really like my jumping off point was like, there's like definitely a financial component to this. Like with short-term rentals, like you can, this is a marketing tool.
Totally. Yeah. Because you want to get more bookings. You want your Airbnb to be busier. We probably should just do a whole nother episode on what Airbnbs. You should do to your short-term rental.
Totally.
And we do talk about short-term rentals a lot on this podcast because obviously we're talking about real estate and it's a great return on your investment, but not everybody has the ability to buy a short-term rental. And a lot of people listening are just trying to buy their first
house.
It's
a job.
Yes, it totally is. But that's amazing that you just like turned that idea of like, okay, how can I make this pop off the page? And now you've got this gorgeous business out of it.
Yeah, it was really cool. It's like, I think that everybody should experiment with what they're interested in online, right? Like it's a great place to, if you tweet something, if you post something, like you think like the world sees me and I need to be really self-conscious or concerned about that, but really like nobody cares. There's just like billions of things that are tweeted every day. So that, you know, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it is such a great way to like test your ideas
and just throw it at the wall.
Just throw stuff out there and see what do I care about that people also care about? That's basically what I did with Twitter and like design. Like I started with short-term rentals and then it's short-term rental design and then it's like design as a whole. And you can incorporate like architecture and construction and stuff like into that as well. So that's a very roundabout way of just saying like, yeah, like if you have something that you're interested in, talk about it online.
I love it. Yeah. Well, and you've just blown up. Like, I mean, obviously we were friends, like we've gone on trips together.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I had no idea that you had this following.
Well, it's new. It's new. Like Instagram is like 4 months old.
It's crazy. But what I love about your page and your posts is that you're always right on the money with like design tips. And for someone who's even just renting their house, I feel like you just give so many great tips and ideas and talking about architecture, and everybody loves design and like we all crave beauty. But I love that you were just like able to vocalize what a lot of us think when we walk through space. Like, I just feel like you vocalize it super well.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think like the background I worked as a real estate agent for like 5 years. So I walked through a lot of different open houses, new construction homes, everything like that. And like you start to see patterns emerge, right? It's like this thing, this trend is now a trend. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what people are doing. This works. This, you also see a lot of things that don't work, obviously, when you walk through a lot of houses. So I basically like I had that experience and then was able to like test everything out on Twitter. And now it's like the distillation of that experience is manifesting on Instagram, right?
So
and it's just like I've tested these ideas. I know what works. And now we can like market them.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, and I was at a party on Friday night and a friend of mine was like, you know, Hans Lorai. I was like, yeah. She goes, I was just Googling like best Nashville architect. And you were like one of the first things that came up.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
and
funny.
Like Arrington came up and
really?
She was like, I found Hans. And I'm like, yes. And it's just like, you have just found this niche and you're so good at it. And yeah. And so that's why I'm so excited that you're on today's episode.
So happy to be here.
I think we should get into our topic.
Let's do it.
Because I've walked through, again, being in real estate for so long, I've walked through so many houses where I'm like, if you could just get one person in here with a really good eye and really good taste for design, this house could be amazing. And I would say that most people want a house that's beautiful, that's aesthetically pleasing, that, you know, they walk in and they're excited about. Like if you've watched Queer Eye, like I love watching the house transform.
Yeah.
Again, that's why I love HGTV and I love seeing the transformation. But a lot of us are like, yes, I know what I like, but I don't know how to take a space from A to B. I can see the house for what it is. I know what I like when I'm watching TV. Yep. How do I consolidate the two and create my space to feel beautiful? And maybe I'm someone that I've had this dresser that I've had since high school, and I have a bed that I've had since college, and I have these blue sheets, and I've got this and this, and I've got different pieces. Let's talk about someone who's got this mixed match of things, and maybe they buy a house that is not the most gorgeous thing they've ever seen
online. As you do with your first house.
As you do. Know? Because there's no such thing as a perfect house
there
in general.
Not. Yeah.
But especially for a starter house. Uh-huh. Usually we're dealing with some old design trends, maybe some things that are not so great. Like
hodgepodge.
Different,
yeah.
Low ceilings, ugly floors.
For sure.
Bad natural light. Like there's so many things that come into play when we talk about, you know, different architecture, different styles. So let's pretend that we are in those shoes of like, okay, I need to make my space amazing. What are some tips, Hans? Like what do we do to make our space gorgeous?
It's a really good question. I think the first thing that I tend to gravitate towards is light fixtures, right? I think if you had to, there's a lot of things that you could do, but if you had to pick like one thing that maybe makes the biggest difference, I think changing your light fixtures or just getting some interesting light fixtures can go such a long way. One of the ways that I think about light fixtures are like, it's like the jewelry of a house, right? And if somebody has jewelry on, if somebody has a necklace on or a bracelet, like you notice that right away, it like shines, it catches your eye. So light fixtures are like sculptures that are lit up in your house, right? They're made to catch your attention. So there's probably like ceiling light. Let's imagine that old house. There's probably like a ceiling light, there's a boob light.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? Like in the middle of each room, or just like a ceiling, some old ceiling fan from the '70s with like this weird four lights on or whatever. Like if you just change that stuff again, like you're probably not even thinking about it really as you're walking through, but like if you change that out for something that's like really attractive and interesting, that's like a sculpture within itself, and it doesn't have to be super expensive. There's stuff on Etsy. You know what I mean? It's really amazing, really unique. I think that in and of itself goes such a long way. And especially if you pick things that have a little bit of a theme going on, some commonalities, right? Like you pick a certain time period, a certain style of light fixtures, and then change everything. That to me is like the number one thing. Those are probably things too that you can either hire an electrician to knock out really quickly, or you can certainly like watch YouTube videos. Yeah. You know, I'm not encouraging you to do this, but like you could probably learn how to change a light fixture if you wanted to.
I've done it.
Yes.
In my old little rental, which I talk about on this podcast a lot. Uh-huh. I lived in this like tiny little purple house in East Nashville, but I changed our dining room light I just YouTubed it.
And you've probably felt so proud of yourself when you did.
Yes.
You felt amazing.
It's still
every time it's like, I did that.
100%.
Yeah. Yep.
I think also what you're great at is you picking something that maybe not everybody would choose. And talking about what you said before, like a lot of white, a lot of gray. Uh-huh. I think the reason a lot of, you know, homeowners and investors pick the stuff that's very neutral is because they want to appeal to the masses. Like,
for sure.
I want this house to fit anybody's couch, to fit anybody's weird rug.
Like, totally.
I want them to love it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you do something really bold, like purple cabinets or a really
for
interesting
sure.
light fixture, you're appealing to maybe a smaller pool of interested buyers or interested people.
I think that there is some truth to that. The way that I think about it though is this is actually another great way to think about it. If you go in a restaurant or a hotel or a coffee shop, right? You don't just go there because the food is good or because you want a comfortable bed to sleep in or because you want, you know, a nice place to hang out for the afternoon. Like, you go because it feels great.
Mm-hmm.
So like those places are doing things that make them feel great. And a lot of times they're making pretty like interesting and adventurous choices with the light fixtures that they pick, with the tile, the wallpaper, whatever. So I would also pay attention to look at what spaces do you like to hang out in? Right. That like from hospitality, you know, from restaurants, from bars, that kind of thing, and bring some of those influences into your space. And I think that actually like a lot of people are more adventurous than they might think inside when they actually see that thing in their coffee shop or in their restaurant or whatever that they really like. And so I think you can bring those things into a house. One rule that I have for doing that is one interesting thing, one simple thing. So basically a way to think about this is like, if you're going to do, let's say you want to do like some interesting doorknobs or something like that, something with like a cool shape or a cool color, you probably don't want to put that on some crazy door. You're not going to like put that on a door that's painted orange or whatever, because that's too much. You basically like pair one interesting thing with one simple thing. Like another way to think about it is if you have a really simple, like minimalist dining room, that can probably afford, you can probably afford to go pretty loud with a light fixture in there because everything else is sort of like a neutral palette that's like a canvas to receive that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So like
100%.
One interesting thing, one simple thing, if you pair it together, I feel like that's the right balance. It's where you're trying to do like interesting on interesting that it's too much. And it works for fashion too.
Gosh, that is so good. I feel like that could just be our whole episode is one interesting thing, one simple thing.
Totally.
Because now I'm thinking about my space, and in my living room, I've got very neutral couches. Like I did the classic, like just get everything like white and neutral
when
I was buying. Cause I'm like, well, this will match a lot of other things.
For sure.
But my rug is also super boring. So maybe I should get like a more interesting rug because those things are very simple.
You could think about it that way. Like I think another, like a couch with like an interesting coffee table is like another way to do it. Mm-hmm. Or like a simple bed with an interesting headboard or interesting painting over the bed. Yeah. Like it's about balance, right? You don't want to go overboard in either direction, too safe or too interesting.
Yes. Okay. So our episode topic is how to spruce up your space on a dime. What are some other cost friendly ideas besides lighting that you would do to a space to kind of beef it up?
I think what you could do is you could paint. Paint is definitely your friend, right? Like paint is relatively inexpensive compared to actually making renovations, moving walls, you know, purchasing furniture. And it's something that you can do yourself. So I would experiment with paint colors. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you like paint a room purple or you paint a room red or something like that. But there's so many different shades of, you know, there's so many different shades of white. You could bring in a shade of white that has like a little bit of orange or a little bit of pink in it to like warm up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Or just like excite a certain room a little bit more. And I would think about like really saturating that room, right? So actually like painting the walls, painting the trim, painting the ceiling, like going all the way with it and really bringing that color in. And again, like it doesn't have to be something extreme, but it's such a good way to bring personality into a space without overwhelming it. If you look at so many of the homes in like Architectural Digest and design magazines, everything, like they're not white.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? They're different shades of different colors.
So good.
Y'all, can I get a drum roll, please? If you've been enjoying our podcast, you know that we are very passionate about providing accessible home buying education for everybody, no matter where they're at in the process. And now, guess what? You can do it straight from your phone. Download the How to Buy a House mobile app today. Our app is designed to hold your hand through the process from start to finish and is jam-packed with expert-level home buying education and tips and tricks from the best in the business. We are so pumped about it, and we know you will be too. Now available in the App Store. Happy home buying.
What's another thing, you know, obviously we talked about lighting, we talked about paint. What's another thing that I could do in a space? Like imagine like a builder grade popcorn ceiling, you know, shaggy carpet. Like what's something I can do to make it feel great?
I think plants, right? I think a lot of people, and I'll caveat that, large plants, right? So if you pick big plants, it creates the feeling of being outside, right? Like if you have a large plant that's, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet tall, or you put it in a planter, you put it in a stand or something like that, it almost feels like you're sitting next to a tree. Mm-hmm. And that's naturally going to be such a good feeling, right? We love being outside for a reason. We're like hardwired to like love nature. Nature is so much movement and texture and drama. And so like plants are actually like, they're like sculptures that you can buy for much less than a sculpture from an artist and put it in your house. And they just add like so much visual interest and texture and drama to a space. And again, like bringing the outdoors in. So I think that's such an easy way to do it. You can also uplight your plants at night, which looks really, really cool. Ooh. It's like extremely dramatic and it like shoots shadows onto the ceiling.
Great idea.
That's another one that I really like. So big plants. I think lots of little plants together, it's cool, but sometimes it looks kind of cluttered, right? So I think like fewer larger plants is a great way to go.
I love that. Also, it's good for your house. It's like having an air filter in your house.
Air purifier. Got plants.
Yes, yeah, it's 100%. Great. Helps in the winter too. I feel like the gloominess of the gray, it's just been messing with me, but having the plants inside really helps a lot.
Totally.
You know, from my own experience, and I've done a lot of home renovations and, you know, little DIY flips and tricks. And something that I, obviously we saw go in and out really fast was shiplap.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're still seeing shiplap. I'm seeing it used in a couple different ways, but things like that where maybe there's an install happening, whether it's trim or wallpaper.
For sure.
Like, what kind of ideas are you seeing now? And I know we don't want to talk about too many trendy things because trends come and go so quickly.
Right.
But what's something that's maybe inexpensive that would really make a room stand out that could be like an install?
Let's say this is a relatively small space, right? Like let's assume this is your first starter home.
Yes.
Space is at a premium.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? If you're struggling with conserving space in a room, I think like built-in benches along the wall, something like that, where you're incorporating in either a fireplace or a bookshelf, or I think that you could buy those sort of like prefabricated from a lot of different companies. That's a good way to do it. And in doing that, that's going to allow you to not have as much furniture in a room, which will like crowd that room. So I think that's one way to go.
Great idea.
I've definitely seen another thought is, and again, this will probably be something just as fast as shiplap, but like I've seen a ton of wood paneling lately, right? Like very much coming back. So I think
70s are in, baby.
Totally. If you have a space that's like, that's just like kind of lifeless and boring. I think that there's a lot of different ways that you can incorporate that. And I've seen like people do really, really cool things just with like stained plywood.
Yes.
I
agree. I don't think you could ever go wrong with like natural materials, like wood, marble, brick, any sort of stone.
It stands the test of time,
right?
Like it's been around for thousands
since
or tens of pre.
Yes. 100%. So like anything like that, an install using those materials, I don't think you can go wrong.
Totally agree.
Obviously wallpaper styles go in and out, but those things I think will always look pretty great. And they don't have to be expensive either. You could buy like beadboard, you know, plywood boards and install that on a wall and it looks gorgeous. And those are like $12 a piece at Home Depot.
I think another, like to your point there, natural materials, right? If you're talking about like wood and brick and, you know, marble, those kinds of things. Another way to think about that too is texture, right? Like we want to incorporate texture into our space. So I think when most people think about design, they usually think about color is the first thing they think of, but they also think of shape, right? Like interesting shaped chairs or interesting shaped dining room table. I don't think most people think about texture, but like texture, you know, whether that's like a throw blanket that's like, I don't know, if you like look at, you like crumple my pants or whatever, like it makes an interesting shape, interesting shadows, right? Like, and with those natural materials, with wood, with stone, with brick, with, I don't know, just like even a bookshelf, it creates lots of different ways for light to lay around a room and do things with shadows. And I think that that goes such an enormously long way, especially in a space that's basically just washed out and smooth, and creating like visual interest visual drama.
Yes, so good. And you brought up a really good point about, you know, doing some sort of bookshelf fireplace. I think having a focal point in a space is also important.
Super, super important.
And walking in and your eye being pulled somewhere. And we had a client once that they were buying a starter home.
Yeah.
And, you know, we walked into the living room, like classic ranch, and she's like, you know, I just feel like there needs to be like something happening
something.
In here.
Yeah.
And so they did, they put in their own fireplace and it was just like an electric insert.
For sure.
Didn't have to be anything fancy, but then they built around it. And now you walk in, your eyes immediately drawn to this gorgeous mantle and fireplace.
I'm so glad you brought it up. That was something I want to talk about. It's something that one of the things I realized from doing short-term rental design, Airbnb design, is to think about everything like a photograph, right? Like as you're, because you are like, that's all your
creating art.
Your marketing is photographs for Airbnb,
so
you know? And so like you walk around and you think like, okay, this living room is going to get photographed like this and it's going to get photographed like this. Like how's that going to look mm-hmm. in a picture? And I think that's a really useful tool as a designer is to think like a photographer and a photographer is looking for a focal point, right? Like a photographer wants to see like, okay, what's the main thing in the picture that we're emphasizing? And then what are the things that are arranged around that main thing that drive it home? So yeah, like art could be, let's talk about focal points, right? Like mirrors, art, you know, a fireplace, mm-hmm. like a sofa or whatever could be mm-hmm. your focal point.
A headboard can be a focal point.
Yeah, it's like bedrooms. I'm trying to think like in a bathroom, you'd probably have like mirrors and a vanity or something as your focal point.
Yeah,
yeah, but I think always thinking about that, like, what's the main thing, right? Like, let's get the main thing right and then like reinforce the main thing. So basically build, figure out what the main thing is, you know, like on the wall, and then create vertical and horizontal lines around that main thing to drive that home.
So good. And I think having practical advice like this is so great. And I actually, a long time ago, back in the day, I used to teach a design class just for my home renovation, which you should be doing because I would come to your class. And I mean, watching you on Instagram is like being in your class. But one thing I always used to tell people is bring photos of your space to class, because when we're talking through these things, they would all of a sudden on their phone pull up the picture of their bedroom or their living room. And a lot of people don't think to step away. And actually, if you're an artist creating a painting, I remember in art class, my art teacher in like fourth grade taught me, like, if you're in it and you're like, you're looking at your painting like this all the time. It's like right in front of your face. But if you just walk away for a second and step away and look at it from a distance, you'll actually see what it needs. And I think if you can, you know, in your house, maybe you've lived there for 2 months or maybe you've lived there for 20 years, take a picture of the space and look at it with a different view, because you might be like, oh my gosh, I had no idea I had that same pillow from wherever, from TJ Maxx, and it doesn't match anymore. But I didn't notice until I looked at it in the photograph. And
I've never thought about that. That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So,
like I always am walking through my space and seeing it from different angles. But when I actually take a step back and look at it in a picture, I'm realizing what the space needs.
Yeah.
And then it's great too, when you go shopping, you can be like, let's pull up the picture of the space and will this add dimension? Will it add texture? Will it add a horizontal or vertical line to this focal point?
Yeah.
And then it's just a lot easier to shop, and it doesn't have to be as expensive because you're just being more intentional.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's true. It's so good to like begin with the end in mind there. I would just say like one way that I want to expand on that point you made too, is you're talking about basically getting space or trying to see things from another point of view. I've found that like with this creative stuff, like sometimes I get really, really overwhelmed, right? It's really easy to get decision fatigue.
Yes.
When you start, you're just like, oh, but there's like 10,000 different, like there's so many different light fixtures, there's so many different colors of paint. There's so many, you go on like, if you're going to buy a, I don't know, a couch on Wayfair or something like that, there's a billion options. And so to get space from those decisions, you like, I really like to go on a walk, right? Like if I'm in the middle of that process and actually like go walk around the neighborhood and just, instead of being in your space, like imagining your space, do you know what I mean? Or just like thinking about it outside the actual space and trying to get distance. And then when you come back in, I just swear it's like, it's a different feel. It feels like something new because you've just been like outside of nature and had this different stimulation, and you can see it with fresh eyes. So
good. That is such good advice. I do feel that decision fatigue. And I think with social media, it's like I get decision fatigue and I get comparison fatigue where I'm like, well, if I do that, is my space going to look as good as this other person's space?
Oh yeah.
And then I forget what I like, because I'm like, well, I'm just trying to compete with all these other people I follow on social media. Instead, I should just go to the flea market and get that lamp that I love, you know, and yeah. and be excited about my one lamp.
Yep, totally.
Instead of comparing it to all the lamps on Target.com or, you know, Lamps Plus or whatever.
Totally.
And be excited about that one piece because I like it.
Yeah.
And I think what you bring up is such a good point that like it can be very overwhelming, especially with the internet. And designing 30 years ago didn't have computers to compare everything else to. And totally. Maybe they're looking at design magazines, but then yeah. they could close the magazine and put it away and not look at it all day.
Yep, yep.
And I think it's really important not to let yourself get so overwhelmed with what everyone else is doing and be excited about your space.
And to that point too, like if you look at what everyone's doing right now, it's very right now. It's very 2024. I really like to encourage people to basically combine new and old stuff in a space. Like just pick things that you like for the sake of liking them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and bring them into your space so you don't get stuck in one time period, right? Like if you're buying a new house today and you just order everything brand new today, your
right.
house is going to be very 2024
yeah.
today in 2 years.
Yeah.
But if you can take the time to actually just choose things that you're naturally gravitating towards instead of things that you sort of keeping up with the Jones, you know, trendy
yes.
type things. I think that long term, you're just going to be so much happier with the way that goes. And also remember to, you don't have to do everything right away.
So
I think
good.
That contributes to decision fatigue too. Anchor down. You need somewhere to sit, right? Like get your couch,
yes.
you know, get a mirror on the wall or whatever, but like take your time with it because
so
it's
good.
Super, super overwhelming if you don't.
I completely agree. And not every room in your house has to be perfect.
No.
There can be some
no.
rooms you're like, I don't know what to do on this wall. It's a big wall.
And that's okay.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Actually, did you see that one house in Nashville where there was this big empty wall and this person, this designer just took spray paint and put, I don't know what to put on this wall.
Oh, I love that.
And it was yeah. so, I mean, it blew up on
yeah.
Facebook and
yeah, yeah,
in
yeah.
the realtor community in Nashville. Everyone was loving it. But
uh-huh.
I think just having that like it's okay. Not everything's perfect. And it's
right.
okay to not know
right.
what to do that space.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I love that.
Man, I feel like I've been so inspired just from our conversation. I hope that if you're listening to this, you feel inspired too. Hans, how do people find you and follow you?
You can, depends what platform you're on. If you're on Instagram, it's Hans Lorei Design. So HANSLOREI Design. I'm also on TikTok with the same handle. And then if you're a Twitter person, which is now X, it's just Hans Lorei. And then you can go to my website too, which is hanslorei.com. If you're interested in like working together or seeing some of the resources I have on there, I have some free stuff on there too. So check that out.
Amazing. And if I'm a homeowner and I'm like, I just want Hans to tell me if I should buy this rug or not, like, can people reach out to you for design advice?
We do. Yeah, we do consulting stuff. We're starting to have a lot of clients. So, I don't know how much longer we're going to do that, but we are planning on like rolling out some stuff, some educational products where people could just like learn design a little bit. Like maybe that looks like a course or community. I'm
Ooh.
Not really sure yet, but that's definitely the plan.
We love education and
yes.
a community. That's
yes.
what we're all about. Ahead of my house, guys. I love it. Okay, Hans, we're going to wrap up and I feel like we just need to do another episode again later because there's so much I want to talk
I'm
about
in.
You. Or we can just grab coffee and just shoot the shit because I love
cool.
it. I just said shit on the podcast. Sorry, guys.
Shoot the poop.
Shoot
yeah.
the poop. There
yeah.
we go. Okay. Oh my gosh. Hans, let's wrap up our episode with the question I ask all of our guests. And that is, if you could give our listener one piece of advice, does not have to be design related or real estate related, what would it be?
There's a quote, there's this book I read, it's by this guy, Naval Ravikant. He's a tech guy and like an investor, but also a philosopher. And one of the things that he said was, the internet has massively broadened the scope of possible careers. And most people don't realize that yet. And so I think I'm someone that's realizing that, right? Like it's possible to, because of the internet, you can put your creativity out there, put your ideas out there and like actually turn that into a business and like a business with scale, right? That like people all over the world use. So I would just encourage people to, if you feel creative, if you feel inspired by something, test that out, right? Like it doesn't have to be design related, but it's amazing what you can do now with a social media driven business. So,
so good.
Leave you with that.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, and you're obviously like the poster child
I'm doing
of
it.
That. So
yeah.
it's great.
It works.
Hans, thank you so much for
you're so
joining
welcome.
Us today. This was so fun. And if you're listening, I hope you feel inspired to design your space and also have a great rest of your day. Thanks, Hans.
You're so welcome.
Stay tuned for more episodes from the How to Buy a House class. You can follow us on Instagram. We're at the How to Buy a House class. You can also email us. Yes, we still use email and we would love to connect to you that way as well. You can reach us directly at hello@howtobuyahouseclass.com. And I also would love to connect with you. My Instagram handle is @JessLouRandolph. And we hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening and God bless you.